from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Tuesday, December 15th. Coming up, months into the pandemic, misinformation about COVID-19 continues to circulate online. We'll get a look at a few of the most common claims from Side Effects Public Media in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois received its first shipment of the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine yesterday. Sean Crawford reports.
The 48,000 doses are about half what the state is expecting this week. Frontline healthcare workers will be first up to receive the shots over the next few days. Illinois Department of Public Health Director Ngozi Ezike says the state is working to facilitate vaccine distribution.
We have been praying for this day and preparing for this day for months, and we're working with our local health departments and our hospitals to get the vaccine into the arms of those who need it most as quickly as possible.
While drug maker Pfizer is the only manufacturer whose vaccine has received FDA approval so far, another vaccine made by Moderna could be authorized this week. Ezike says while it's an historic moment, it could take many months for the vast majority of residents to be vaccinated. I'm Sean Crawford.
The University of Illinois still doesn't have emergency use authorization from the FDA for its COVID-19 saliva test. During a hearing with state lawmakers yesterday, university officials said that makes it much more difficult for most campuses to use it. They say they're in the final stages of the clinical trial required for such authorization. U of I System President Tim Colleen says it should be available at multiple public universities by the time the next semester begins.
We're getting close to within weeks opening up shop elsewhere, and I think that's a very important statement. So it's not like we could have rushed through this at some faster pace, and it did require the operational experience at Urbana-Champaign.
The universities where testing is likely to begin next month include Northern Illinois University in DeKalb, Illinois State in Bloomington, Eastern Illinois in Charleston, plus Chicago State and Governor State Universities. U of I officials say they're also in talks about bringing the test to Western Illinois University and Northeastern Illinois University, as well as both Southern Illinois University campuses in Carbondale and Edwardsville. Tens of thousands of doses of the coronavirus vaccine have arrived in Illinois, and as Illinois Newsroom's Christine Herman reports, hospitals are getting ready to vaccinate their workforce.
Hospital workers who have the most exposure to COVID-19 on the job are at the top of the list for getting the vaccine. Sandy Salverson is the vice president of pharmacy for OSF in Peoria, which operates more than a dozen hospitals across the state. She says the doses require ultra-cold temperatures for long-term storage, but they'll receive them refrigerated, which means they'll have about 4 days to get the shots into people's arms.
And that's our goal, and our objective is to make sure that we're good stewards of the resource and make sure that we can get as many of our mission partners protected as we can.
Nursing home residents and staff will also be prioritized for doses in the initial shipment. They'll get the vaccine through a federal program involving Walgreens and CVS. I'm Christine Herman, Illinois Newsroom.
Meanwhile, Illinois public health officials reported more than 7,200 new COVID-19 cases yesterday and an additional 103 deaths. In total, more than 14,400 people have died from COVID-19 in Illinois. The 7-day rolling case positivity rate continues to fall slowly. It's down to 8.7%. Champaign County public health officials reported 67 new COVID-19 cases yesterday. There are currently more than 900 active cases in the county, including 14 people hospitalized. The death toll stands at 75. Meanwhile, at Carl Hospital in Urbana, which serves the broader region, 88 patients are hospitalized with COVID-19, including 23 in the ICU. Still to come, we'll dive into a few of the myths still circulating online about COVID-19. That story from Side Effects Public Media is next on 217 Today.
IllinoisNewsroom.org is your source for news about education, the environment, health, politics, and more from WILL. Now you can receive our stories directly in your inbox. Sign up for our weekly newsletter at IllinoisNewsroom.org for stories you can't find anywhere else in Central Illinois. Another service from WILL, your source for quality, trusted journalism.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. COVID-19 vaccines could end the pandemic, but at the moment, cases and deaths continue to rise. So does misinformation about the disease. Side Effects Public Media's Steph Whiteside looked into some of the claims circulating online.
One comment often seen on social media is that deaths are being attributed to COVID, even when the patient died of something else. Dr. Sunal Shah, a hospitalist at Southern Illinois Healthcare, says that some of that confusion may come from death certificates having two fields. Part one is the field where doctors enter the cause of death.
And with COVID patients, there are three different sections on this part one, where we put in COVID is always listed in that part one in those three sections, if their death was related to COVID.
If a patient dies before being admitted, they're still tested in some situations.
But if they are concerned for if the patient had COVID symptoms, fever, shortness of breath, and they did not get tested, they get tested after death.
On part two of the death certificate, doctors detail the patient's other conditions, even if they were not the direct cause of death, like heart problems or a lung disease known as COPD.
So like our patients, when we have them, we have a part two, and we list that if they had also high blood pressure, high cholesterol, COPD, coronary artery disease, those kinds of things we list in the part two.
If a patient died of something other than COVID, say a car accident, then that death would not be counted with the Illinois Department of Public Health's COVID deaths. If anything, that could lead to an undercounting of COVID-19 deaths, says Josh McSanick, an emergency room physician with Southern Illinois Healthcare. He gives the example of an elderly patient hospitalized for COVID who is discharged to a nursing home and dies of an infection or other illness contracted there. McSanick says that death wouldn't be counted as COVID-related, even though it could be traced back to the original hospitalization.
Man, it seems like that started the downward spiral. And so, you know, in America, we're not counting COVID deaths that are, you know, people that die 30, 60 days out from COVID.
Another bit of misinformation downplays COVID's danger while comparing it to the flu. McSanick says people should actually have more confidence in reports of COVID deaths, which are confirmed by testing.
But, you know, if you look at the way flu deaths are determined, we don't determine flu deaths like we do COVID deaths. The government, if you go to the CDC website, they do like actuarian calculations. They take pneumonia deaths, they take all kinds of respiratory deaths, they take a percentage of deaths during flu season, and they attribute those to the flu.
Illinois had just over 2,500 deaths in the 2018 flu season, according to CDC data. As of December 9th, 2020, the state has already counted more than 13,000 COVID deaths. McSanick says while both COVID and flu tend to be more dangerous for older patients, COVID deaths include younger people as well. He's in his late 30s and recalls a conversation with an elderly woman who was being admitted to the hospital for flu. She asked why he wasn't wearing a mask.
And I said, oh, I'm exposed to flu every day. I'm not worried about the flu, you know? Because I'm not, you know, I'm young. Statistically, I'm not going to die of the flu, and it doesn't scare me at all. But COVID does scare me because even being relatively young and healthy, there are definitely many people in their 30s that get very sick. It's not like everyone is going to get sick. It's just it's too hard to really predict who's going to get sick.
Shah and McSanick can't address every bit of misinformation about COVID, but there are places to get the facts online, including the CDC and World Health Organization, or big groups like the Mayo Clinic and Johns Hopkins. For Side Effects Public Media, I'm Steph Whiteside.
And finally, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we have another cool, dry day on tap with partly cloudy skies and a high of 34 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Olivia Butts. Reporting today contributed by Sean Crawford, Lee Gaines, Christine Herman, and Steph Whiteside. Music by the Kilbourn Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.